This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. What did I miss? Did I miss anything?
I've got the day six voice.
Oh, well, that's good for you.
anyway, back to the business at hand.
Wait a minute. It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen. It's NASA time.
NASA, good.
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
We're joined by Miss Shivanji Sharma.
Yes, well done. Well done on the pronunciation.
He was smart enough to write it in big letters for
me.
Yeah, because he's blind as I am.
And you are the UAM Grand Challenge Unmanned Aerial
Machine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, man, I wish I was half machine at least. I think it would make me more efficient. But
You don't need to be more efficient.
No more efficiency required.
Don't remove the human part.
No, okay. So I am currently serving as the Air Traffic Management Exploration Deputy Project Manager at NASA Ames.
That doesn't fit
on
a business card.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Right? It is a lot.
Yeah.
Deputy.
That's a mouthful to say. I mean, after that, you should go on vacation.
That's why I'm here. Hopefully, yeah. Trying to get some good
sightings.
This
is a vacation. Okay.
Yeah.
So what exactly does a project manager do?
So I'll tell you about the not-so-fun part, but then I'll tell you about the fun part.
Okay.
So what we are focused on is, well, as a project manager, you know, what we're trying to do is to ensure that we are conducting research across a broad set of portfolio for air traffic management research. And that's for conventional aircraft, as well as new entrants such as unmanned aerial vehicles, autonomous cargo operations, as well as this new set of vehicles that are coming online, which we refer to as eVTOLs, or electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles.
Like the Black Fly?
And the Volocopter and 14 others I don't know about.
Right. So you have Volocopter, Lilium from Europe. You have Joby, Beta, Whisk, a whole host of other American companies that are in the game, along with some of the larger OEMs that are also developing prototypes and vehicles to enter into our airspace for a new mission set. So if you can think about, you want to travel about 50 to 100 miles or so, maybe a car is not the best option, potentially due to traffic, et cetera, on the ground. You could potentially get into one of these vehicles. Given that they're a hybrid between a rotorcraft and a fixed-wing aircraft, you have the ability to take off vertically like you would in a helicopter. But then some of these vehicles have configurations in which you can transition to the wing. So you have more efficiency as you fly on the wing, and then you could transit to whatever location, point A, point B, to you would like to go to, and then land. And again, you have now, given that you can land vertically, you have a little bit more availability in terms of locations. You're not constrained to a runway. And so that's one area of or use case that we're exploring, but there's a whole host of use cases. So cargo operations, regional air mobility, serving underused rural areas, as well as emergency use cases, so emergency transport.
Now, right now, the current mindset, technology, whatever, is that these are manned vehicles with a pilot. But especially with the e-mobility, the eVTOLs, they want to do totally autonomous where the guy on board is just a passenger. That really changes how you handle the traffic because you can't talk to it and tell it, you know, get out of the way, do this. So, I mean, you guys have got to be thinking about that as well.
Definitely. So when we think about advanced air mobility, we really think about three pillars. So the first pillar is the vehicle. What is a vehicle's configuration? How many rotors does it have? What's its performance characteristics? And what are the implications of the vehicle design itself, the inceptor design, the control system that's in place? So that's one component, and that is where industry is playing a very strong role. Now, you also have the airspace component. So it's not enough for us to be thinking about flying one or two of these vehicles piloted, integrating into NASA as we know it today, the National Airspace System as we know it today. But many of these business use cases are predicated upon high volume of traffic, right? You want to get customers in and out of at any given location. So given that's the use case, how do you integrate those vehicles into our National Airspace System, still allow our GA pilots to file and fly as they would like to today, whether you're a glider or fixed wing, single engine, twin engine, whatever you may have, but then still allow these new entrants to perform their missions to help other use cases and other folks who want to transport themselves or their goods. So that's the airspace integration piece is really, really essential, and that's where we're spending a lot of our research efforts. The third pillar is infrastructure. So you pointed to this yourself, right, when you said that's a lot of airplanes in the sky.
Yep.
And Whitman's a great example during Oshkosh. You have this huge demand of aircraft coming into a reduced capacity area. You can't really expect these eVTOLs to rock their wings as an acknowledgement of a command on frequency, as a Roger, right? So there has to be a digital infrastructure that's created to enable these new vehicles. And that's another key area of research that we're exploring, is what is the infrastructure, both digital and physical, the landing surfaces as well as the digital links, to really help these vehicles come into play. So those are the three pillars. But you touched on something that was, I think, in particular, an area of key research that's required. So pilots, right? So as you go from piloted operations as we know them today to increasing levels of automation in the flight deck, what are the implications operationally? Right now, under VFR or IFR, right? So let's start with VFR. Those are the flight rules that we have today along with IFR. For VFR, Part 91.111.113, see and avoid. Predicated on eyeballs of a pilot. So many of the folks here are used to you leveraging their sight, their situational awareness, to ensure that they don't have any collisions. If you're in IFR or in Class B airspace, you have air traffic control utilizing a blip on a screen to provide separation services. So those are the operational constructs for separation today. As we move towards increasingly automated flight, how do you go from see and avoid to detect and avoid? Meaning, what are the sensors that are needed on board the vehicle to perceive the world around us? Are those computer vision based now, or are they LIDAR? Are they a combination of airborne radar? What are those sensors? How do you fuse that data together? And then how do you use that to inform an algorithm? And that's a key area of research that we're exploring.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there are two systems right now that are out there for anti-collision, ADS-B and TCAS. And
But when you're talking an Amazon drone that's flying a package, that the whole thing doesn't weigh 30 or 40 pounds, that's a lot of technology to have to put on that little drone.
But I think you raised a really good point. So you have TCAS for conventional aircraft, right? So you're talking about your 320s, 73s, whatever you may have. TCAS is a capability that the FAA has developed and deployed. So we're on TCAS version 2 right now. In terms of applying that principle to small UAS, UAS aircraft that might be larger in terms of size, as well as rotorcraft, the FAA is developing their ACAS program, so Airborne Collision Avoidance System program. They have different variants of ACAS, so ACAS-XU, ACAS-XR. We love our acronyms in both NASA and the FAA, so I won't bore you with any more, but essentially you can think of this as versions of TCAS that apply for the performance characteristics of these different vehicle types, whether you're a small UAS or a eVTOL. And that's what's currently also under research, and NASA has partnered with the FAA in exploring flight testing for ACAS-XR in particular, which is for rotorcraft, which also has applications to eVTOLs. And we're also working on reference implementations of algorithms that do similar types of functionality. So you bring a really good point in terms of existing capabilities, and then how do we take that and adapt that and evolve them for eVTOLs or these new entrants?
Well, on top of that, with let's go with just cargo delivery. That is such a random thing. It's not like you're running a route from, say, Philly to Atlanta every day. You're taking off from a cargo center and you're going here, there, everywhere. And that's going to be hard to keep track of as well. Not to mention, you consider a major urban area.
Yeah. Basically, you got your hands full.
So you are really, you hit the nail on the head. How would we, as human beings, human meat servos in this system.
Meat servos.
that we currently utilize. How do we play a role in that complex system? Well, I think we might have to re-examine what is our role and what's the role of algorithms and automation to help support that complex network that you refer to. If we can leverage applications that, for example, we all get on our phones and get a ride-hailing app. You know, I think we all know what are the different versions that are out there. You can select a ride, and that ride will take you from one location to another, right? You said it has some of that randomness that you were referring to. Mm-hmm. You can take that same concept and apply it to regional air mobility, especially autonomous cargo operations, and you can start to program those routes so you have a network of routes. Once we have intent, where do you want to go and how are you going to get there? What's your intent, your 4D trajectory, not just your filed flight plan, but also your time of arrival? So if you have that information, how can you leverage it and start to plan a complex series of routes while taking into account for contingencies, weather, off nominal events, because I think all of us as who have lived in the aviation world, we all know that flying nominally is great, but how many sunny days do we get? And so we have to be able to plan for those off nominal cases, and that is a really key area of research for NASA.
Okay. TCAS, I'm not familiar with exactly how it senses the presence of another aircraft. Is it a data link where every airplane is broadcasting its position?
So it leverages ADS-B, so that's why there's equipage requirements for leveraging in technologies like ADS-B, especially in Class B airspace. So
I'm going to be devil's advocate, and I've got my steerman, and I'm not putting any of that stuff on.
Right.
What are you going to do for me?
Yeah, and so how do you ensure an access to airspace that is really the sky for all mentality? So there are going to be use cases, for example, a glider. We can't expect a glider to have ADS-B out, right? So how do you detect what we call non-cooperative traffic? By non-cooperative, we mean they're not sharing their intent information. And so that's where, when I talked about sensors, or I referenced sensors, that's where that plays a role. How do you detect other aircraft or flying
things.
Yeah, it could be a glider, or it could be a single engine,
paramotor.
It could be a whole host of applications. How do you detect those if they are not sharing their intent? And that's where things like computer vision, LIDAR, those are key areas that we have to explore and then understand how to fuse them to maintain the same factors of safety that we have today. And it's not an easy problem, but that's why NASA as a research agency is focused on these areas. Our job is not necessarily to understand, you know, the problems of just tomorrow. It's in the next 5 to 10 years and further out.
Yep.
What are the areas of challenge that are required for us to explore now such that we can enable this industry and enable the United States to maintain its superiority in aviation?
Okay.
You've got your hands full.
Yes, sir.
Where can we find you here at Oshkosh?
You can find us at the NASA Pavilion, and you can come by. You'll see a host of booths that are focused on different aspects of aviation, including air traffic management as well as advanced air mobility. So looking forward to see you there.
All right. That was Ms. Shivangi Sharma of NASA. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.